Hello and welcome to one of two shows we're doing for this Sunday, April 21st on the In the Money Players Podcast. I'm your host, Peter Thomas Fornital, back with you in the Brooklyn Salon once again. I wasn't quite ready to head back to the bunker after spending, gosh, I don't know, 13, 14 hours down there the last couple of days getting a jump on all this exciting Kentucky Derby coverage. But yeah, we got some cool stuff today. Keeneland, there is an all-turf pick three, but we're going to focus on some daily doubles on this show, a bet I know I've been supporting. I know today's guest has been supporting. We'll also encourage you dropping shortly after this will be a show for Hawthorn today. If you're not a usual Hawthorn player, you might want to check out Hawthorn today because there is this Illinois Derby betting challenge you can play with our friends over at ExpressBet. Prize is added and just an $800 live bankroll on that one. So I'm going to be playing both tracks and enjoying myself. Might hop on UK TV for a minute. Had a little family situation. I might have to cancel that shift. We'll figure it out as we get closer. But to talk about Keeneland and these double opportunities, we bring in from 10 Strike Racing, Clay Sanders. Clay, how are things?
Things are great, Pete. This is a pretty good card for a Sunday at Keeneland. I'm looking forward to playing it.
It is terrific. I mean, you know, it's the weather wasn't great to start the meet for sure, but I've been enjoying playing Keeneland day in, day out. We've seen some good performances. You had a pretty promising first-time starter yesterday for 10 Strike. What can you tell us about that one?
We have a filly. We own with Full of Run Racing, Soundbite. She's an audible filly that we like quite a bit going into yesterday's race. We'll see another race today. That's the male version of it, but it's the fillies going 7 furlongs on the Beard Course, and our trainer Brad Cox targets this race. He had circled this 3 months ago for this filly. He's won 5 out of the last 10 on this Beard Course maiden races, and our filly was bet. She's been training great. Broke a little poorly, and you know was supposed to be on the lead, but was trailing the field. Made a big move up the backside. It was 4 wide, came up engaged, the loose on the lead, Wesley Ward horse, and they were head bobbing the last 10 yards, and we had the worst bob I've ever seen, and gallop out in front, but a very promising debut. I haven't seen the buyer yet, but we're hoping to have our second debut winner from a filly from this latest group of 10 by 10, 10 strikes, 10th syndicate, but we'll have to settle for hopefully a second time out winner.
I'll ask this delicately. I can't imagine it was the plan to be last against that Ward filly. Did she not break a little bit, or was this maybe a human error?
You know, I don't know who to blame here. She was supposed to be actually either on the lead or maybe that, you know, typical Todd Pletcher stalking right outside the leader. I don't know if she wasn't prepared or if the jock didn't get out of the gate, but it was kind of compounded. She broke a half a step slow, and then the horse to her outside kind of veered in on her, so she had to kind of take out to the right of her. So she kind of made a mess of it. But, you know, with firsters, you know, sometimes they're just not ready for a prime time with the gate. But, you know, she could have easily packed it in, but she showed a lot of heart and fought and, you know, easily could have won that race.
Let's get to these doubles. I assume this is a bet you've been focusing on with player-friendly terms, the drop and takeout from 22% to 15%. Is that part of your interest in supporting this bet?
Yeah, I mean, so I want to support Jim because I think he's done a great thing here for the horse players. Jim Goodman, you know, runs a great contest and also, you know, runs the betting at Keeneland. Drop the takeout here. I like doubles anyway. I try to focus on them. In contest, if I can't get a double, I will go just to the win bet. But, you know, doubles gives you that ability to leverage your opinion. So I just try to play it as often as I can.
You mentioned the contest. You had huge success in the grade one gamble, getting a pretty impressive haul with some cash. I think you got NHC and BCBC out of this last one. How much, you know, you played in a lot of contests. You've had a lot of success, but how much more does that success mean when it comes at a major like the Keeneland Grade 1 Gamble?
Oh, definitely. I mean, it, as you said, he called it a major. You know, there's really three contests that I'd like to win. The BCBC, which is the first and foremost. Second would be you know, the Grade 1 Gamble or, you know, one of his fall one. I think he calls it the BCBC preview or whatever. And then, third would be a distant third would be the NHC. The NHC definitely isn't my type of contest because it's not live money, but it's still one that you get the Clips Award and everyone. It's kind of like the Kentucky Derby for horse players. So those would be the three that I'd like to win.
Oh, great stuff. Did you have a particular race or races that got you there last weekend, or was it just one of those days where everything was going well?
I hit two horses and they were both favorites, Pete. So to win these or to get in the top of these contests is not as difficult as the horse players make it out to be. I know Matt Miller's done good work with you, and Inside the Pylons have really turned it into a math problem. And you can have, in my instance, a 3.2 to 1 and an 8 to 5, and those are my only two races I hit all day. So if you leverage your opinion and go all in, you can get 10 times your bankroll with two obvious horses, in my opinion.
Let's get to these races today. Yeah, early plug. It's not for sale yet, so I haven't been talking about it much. But Matt has actually written a book that I'm very proud to have collaborated with him on in an editorial fashion, A Better Way of Thinking. And he gets into his thoughts on contests, but so much more than that. He talks about everyday play, really from the perspective of a weekend warrior and really geared. There isn't a single past performance in the book. There's no handicapping really in the book. It's really all about what you're saying, turning it into a math problem, coming up with plans. And there's life advice in here that goes beyond just what you'll see on the track as well. We'll make sure to get you a copy of that one, Clay, because I think you'll be of like mind to a lot of the stuff Matt is espousing in A Better Way of Thinking. More information about that soon. But for now, let's dive in to this Sunday card. Was it race number 5 you wanted to get started in, this allowance turf sprint?
Yeah, so my main opinion is in race 6, but to hook it up in a doubles, I had to analyze both the fifth and seventh. I think you looked at the seventh. I have a small opinion in there, but I didn't have the same confidence. So let's go to race 5. This is a first level allowance for the boys going 5.5 on the turf. I really think the 3 Demolition Duke is the main player here. Brandon Walsh is 5 for 15 at this meet. He came, it means business. He's 12% for the year, but 33% at Keeneland. That should give you the trainer intent here. This horse, last time down at the fairgrounds, going 5.5, got beat ahead and ran a really nice figure. I think if this horse can repeat that race or move forward, should win this race. Draws a Tyler Gaffione as money rider in Kentucky for Brandon Walsh. I think that's your main player. I would also have to include, I would hate to get beat by either of these Wesley Wards, the number 7, I can't pronounce this well, but Jaffe Diobra for Wesley Ward. Just looks like a horse coming off the layoff, training well. And Wesley also targets his Keeneland meet, and he's no stranger to winning turf sprints here. And then I think the outside horse is also Wesley Salt Spray for Stone Street, who also likes to win the Keeneland. If you see a theme here, I really like to bet connections that target Keeneland. And this horse last race was as a 3-year-old at Churchill, won on the lead with a pretty high early pace, 119. I think it should be a little bit of a battle. I don't know. And I wouldn't be shocked if Wesley scratches one. Both of those horses look like they want to go. And then you have George Weaver on the inside that wants to go, but not quite as quick with the 103 pace rating, but one first out of Gulfstream going 5. I think it will be a little bit of a battle that should set up nicely for the late kick for Demolition Duke. But I do not want to leave off those Wesley Wards.
Would you play it where the 3 was sort of an A and then the 7 and the 12 as backups? Was that your thought?
Absolutely. I would stress I would probably have 60 to 70% of my money going through the 3 and then split it on the rest on the other two wards. I definitely want to make it where if the 3 wins, you get the better, stronger payout.
Do you give the 10 Clear the Air any chance in here? That was one horse that caught my eye looking through because this is I think it's a first-time turf, and you've got some speed there. Had run on turf before and was terrible, actually, back at Churchill. But, that race kind of looks like a one-off going through the PPs, and it was off a layoff. But getting back onto turf, this is a surface I felt like pedigree-wise on the dam side could be good, and Rosario there can be such a tough front end rider. Did you think that did that other turf race just disturb you too much, or would you give that one a little bit of count?
It doesn't disturb me at all, Pete, because that was going two turns. And obviously this horse is a sprinter, so I would definitely put a line through it. Yeah, I give this horse a shot. I mean, I think Joel's probably the best turf sprint rider in the country. And I mean, talking about connection, this trainer's 2 for 5, 40% at the meet. I just think the other ones are probably a little better, but this would surprise me. And if you're playing the picks, I mean, this isn't easily a B or C.
I'll throw this horse in as well, and I liked your case on the 3, your top pick in there. So that was my thought on race 5. Let's get to race 6, one of the races that you and I both identified, and I have a feeling based on what you were saying about Brad Cox, we're going to end up on the same horse here. What do you like in race number 6?
I mean, yes, I'm going to definitely lean on Brad here on Dragoon Guard. This horse ran really well at the 7-furlong distance first out as a 2-year-old. Barely lost, losing by a neck. Gets LASIK, is training well. You can see two bullets on the page. And as I mentioned earlier, Brad targets these 7-furlong races. He's 38% at the meet, gets that outside draw. And, you know, Judd Mont, no stranger to the winner's circle either. I really think this horse will be a low price. This is going to be no surprise to anyone that, you know, wants to bet this horse. But I think you just lean in, take this horse. If you're playing exactas or, you know, for some reason if the 7 scratches or whatnot, I think the other horse that is interesting with probably my favorite angle to make money at this Keeneland meet is betting these poly horses to dirt. My best hit yesterday was the same angle. Dale Roman's had one, but the 3 term is getting off the poly. I think sometimes these trainers just run them one time on there to get them a race going into Keeneland. So the number 3 term is interesting as well.
Had some work done by Eric Solomon. I think Eric DeCoster had a similar stat as well about how well these Turfway shippers have been doing. So yeah, I mean, term definitely one. If you were going to go deeper, you could look to include. I like Dragoon Guard, the 7 runner as well. And I don't need to repeat what you said, but I also thought that the form of that first race, when you go back and look at it, only one winner, but Otto the Conqueror was a very impressive winner, getting an 88 buyer speed figure in the next start. And then some of these in behind that didn't win, the next 4 in a row in behind, all improved their figures a few points, making me think that 66 number, probably more like a 70. And then with the time in between that race and this, you know, all of a sudden you're looking at a figure, a horse that really should run the par or better, or at least is capable of doing that. They don't give in the form a buyer par for this, but I think this horse is going to be good enough, and I'd be comfortable in my doubles just standing alone with the 7 runner Dragoon Guard. Anything else on this one, or shall we get to this 7th race where that I wanted to bring up?
Yeah, let's go to the 7th.
So I think you can trust mostly Immensitude, the forerunner. I mean, on her form with what she has done on the racetrack, I mean, looks like one that wouldn't be out of place in the listed class or even at the grade 3 level. So I think coming back here in the hands of Bill Mott, it's a means to an end. It's not like she's going to be cranked and this is the goal by any means, but I also don't think he's bringing her back particularly short. I think she's one that makes a ton of sense. The other one I wanted, and at a terrific price on the morning line, the number 8, Girl Named Charlie, looked to be an improving sort who had the opportunity to be the main speed in here. So if the 4 somehow isn't ready, if there's some sort of hiccup there, I felt like you could get the coverage you need for not really having to spend that much more money if you were messing around with a Dutch situation in the doubles going from the 7 in race 6 to both the 4 and the 8 here. How you said you really did like, really ended up liking the 5-6 double more than the 6-7, but who were some of the horses you were looking at here in this 7th race?
So my main opinion was just going to be the lean end of the same horse, the Mott filly from Europe. I just was a little worried, you know, just reading this form, would Mott have her ready, but he didn't want to lose. So I agree with you. I would probably have 80% running through the 4, and I agree with you on Lindsay's horse. And I think an interesting way, you saw the big favorite from Appleby get beat yesterday by the other Appleby on this Keeneland turf course. It's been a little bit of a no passing zone this week. So if Lindsay can get out there and get loose, maybe that horse gets brave and the Belmont's filly, either needs a race or just can't run her down. So in that Dutch situation, maybe you only have to go 90-10, because I believe Bill's filly will probably be 3 or 4 to 5.
Yeah, I think that's probably a good guess. We have a lot of new people around here, Clay, who found us as a result of all this YouTube content we've been pumping out. For the uninitiated, what can you tell us about Lindsay Schultz?
So Lindsay is a fantastic up-and-coming trainer. We were the first owners to support her. She was a college roommate of our agent, Liz Crowe, and she's wickedly smart. I think she really stands out there. She worked under both Tom Proctor and Shug McGahey, kind of, was running with our friend Craig Burnick, ran his farm down there in Ocala a little bit. But she's kind of really been an up-and-coming trainer. We supported her. She's done better than we expected. I know she's only 15% for the year, but I believe last year she was in the probably the low 20s. She knows what she's doing. The quality of her horses are getting better. Her stakes horses have all been on the turf, and she has some of that nod to Proctor and Shug there. But she's done great with claimers. She really knows how to read the condition book and just a fine conditioner.
Excellent. Great stuff. You want to talk about the eighth and the ninth as well. Let's wrap it up by doing a dive into those, starting with this race number 8, 6 furlongs on the dirt in the allowance ranks. A race that on paper I thought shaped up to have a whole lot of pace. Is it a closer you're looking for or a speed of the speed type?
I'm a speed of the speed here. I'm just going to lean off Phil Bauer here. I mean, he has come loaded this year, winning 33% of his races. If you look at, I've never seen a trainer with the positive ROI across every scenario. I don't know what he's doing, but he's doing it well. He's spotting his horses in the right spot. And this horse really impressed me last time at Saratoga, which is a little bit ago, which is a little bit of a concern, but I think he knows how to get him ready off the bench. But this horse showed a ton of heart and gameness, gutting this race out last time. I know you said there's a lot of speed in here, but I'm just not concerned that the quality of the other speeds are going to be able to keep up with Ludwig. And he's just the horse I'm going to really focus in on.
On my short list as well. This is a race where as you could probably tell from my preamble, I wanted a closer, but I really couldn't find one. There's not a ton of finishers, it looks like, signed on. So probably a good place that I might just follow you in with this one runner. If you had a backup, did you look at it in terms of maybe having a backup, or are you just very comfortable? Obviously, in the double, you can easily just stand alone.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not a standalone. I mean, I guess if you wanted to back up, I mean, Rosario with Asmussen, Steve is always cold at the Keeneland. He doesn't focus on it. So, I mean, I really couldn't put a lot of faith here. But, this horse wants to close a little bit. And, Joel's got the strongest finishing kick there is from a jock perspective. But I'm going to be singled here.
What do you make of the Jacobson runners at Keeneland generally? Certainly, you've talked about so many who historically target the meet. I don't think you can put Jacobson in that category. Other times he ends up being a ignore him at your own peril kind of a trainer. His record on the meet, just I think just like 0 for 3. He has had a couple hit the board. Saffa's Day is one who might be able to pull the right kind of trip here, but I personally have just a little bit of pause in the, again, not that he's done badly, but just it's so hard at Keeneland to take people who aren't, historically known for targeting it, and this horse is going to catch money because of Erad. What do you think of Saffa's Day generally?
So, Jen, I do not like this horse. I'm curious if he'll scratch. He scratched kind of quite a few of his Keeneland entries. What I would say is, if you look at the only two numbers that make this horse competitive, the 290s on the page are both at Aqueduct. And I'll tell everyone, the numbers at Aqueduct are made up. The surface there, it doesn't compare to anything else. And you talk to the figure makers, they're having to project every day. Horses out of slow races are winning, and the horses out of fast races are losing. I would just ignore the figures at Aqueduct. So if you take those off the pages, horses run to more of the middle to lower 80s, which I don't think makes him competitive here.
Great points, and a horse that I was sort of, I almost in principle wanted to use, but was scared of. Now I'm scared enough to just leave that one alone, follow you in with Ludwig, and we'll go from there. The card at Keeneland today ends with three-year-old maiden special weight fillies going a mile on the turf and a big full field. We've got a what's going to be a sizable favorite, you would imagine, in the form of number four, Risk Threshold, one that comes out of that that big Tattersall sale where Chad Brown has had so much success for his owners. Are you with this one or against to close things out, Akeem?
I'm with. Let's not make this complicated. Let's try to turn a 4-5 and a 5-2 into, you know, 6-8-1. I'm just going to single here. I mean, you got the fastest number on the page. The class of this horse, the horse wasn't ready, off prepared. You can see it in the comments, unprepared, off slow. I just think she wasn't ready first time out. You know, Chad doesn't focus on Gulfstream. I mean, typically sends them over to Tampa to make their debut, so that's a little surprising he didn't do that with this filly. But I think he just wanted to get her one run, get her ready for Keeneland, and she's going to take the money today.
I hear you, and I'm not sure if she fires her best shot based on that debut, who here's gonna be able to run with. Just looking at the time form pace projector, I mean the six Lipochrome is as loose as she wants to be. Maybe that would be a way to go as a guess alternative, but boy, that's not turf breeding I feel very good about. And hopefully Risk Threshold not too far back and can do some running down. Do you see anything as a main danger, or is this just a absolute standalone win or lose with Risk Threshold?
It's a standalone. I mean, if you look at some of the obvious ones, the Jonathan Thomas on the inside, maybe they go with her, but you know, Classic Empire 6% with firsters with turf runners, that doesn't get me excited. The Brad Cox, the 2, has been training at Indiana, that doesn't get me excited. I don't know. Maybe the 7 coming, you know, the Broken Vow that raced some in Europe, but I'm going to be single here.
Yeah, semantics, the 7 is a little bit interesting as a horse that just based on the fact that that was at least a little bit competitive in Irish maidens and might be able to just trip out in the spot if you were looking for an alternative. But I think your idea of just getting nailed into Risk Threshold probably makes the most sense. And I think you're right. I mean, another great thing about the doubles is you have an opportunity for better price discovery than in a lot of these other pools where, you know, you can look at that probable grid and yes, they can go down late too, but you know, if you wait late enough, generally speaking, I think you've got a better chance of getting the price you're expecting in that double than in the win pool. Does that match your experience?
Yeah, I mean, the teams are less active in the doubles. They're really playing in the pick three, and sometimes they'll even give you a better price than double to try to hide what they're trying to do. So I encourage people to stay in that pool.
Yeah, good. That's a great observation as well. Clay, fantastic having you today. You're going to be part of our Monster Pods. You'll be seeing that, folks, next week on our YouTube channel. And then when we have them all, there will be an audio version. So if you're not a YouTube person, you will still get the Monster Pod, but there'll also be mini pods along the way on YouTube. I think the first ones are dropping today if JK did what he said he was going to do, which I have no reason to doubt. But we'll have you back on soon, Clay. Really appreciate you. Godspeed here and with the stable.
All right. Thanks, Pete. Good luck to everyone.
That's it for this show. Thanks once more to Clay. Thanks to our sponsors over at Keeneland Racing. May you win all your photos.